We've got the human foosball set up outside. There's going to be a big water slide later in the week and just some things, some great activities for the kids. Tonight starts at 6 o'clock, and we'll go from 6 to 8:30, and then the rest of the week will be from 7 to 8:30. So that happens this week. Sunday, August 9th, which is next week, there's going to be a cake auction right after service to benefit our PUSH prayer class. You know, there's something about, you know, I appreciate what Mitzi and Kevin are doing to teach our youth how to pray and what it means to get a hold of God. And so it's exciting to see what God's doing there. This is going to benefit that class. August 15th is going to be a Covenant Men's Ministry breakfast right here at the church. If things work out right, the fellowship hall will be finished by that point, and we can actually use that new facility, so we're excited about that. Also, on August 15th, the breakfast is at 9 a.m. On August 15th at 11:45, the youth are going to go play whirly ball. And unless I've got someplace else I've got to be, I'm going to be a youth for at least one day. August 16th will be our evening prayer, monthly evening prayer meeting at 6 o'clock right here in the sanctuary. God, if you've been a part of that, last month we had 54 people on a Sunday night show up for the purpose of praying. There's just something about when you get people together and their agenda is to pray and to seek God, things happen. It's exciting. Also, on August 23rd is going to be our back-to-school event, and we actually have the principal from Rockwall High School is going to be here, and we're going to have he's going to greet everybody. I just like the idea of knowing that we have a principal serving in the community that is a Christian himself. He's going to greet our students, and we're going to have a time. Amen. That's worth clapping about. And we're going to have a time at the in the middle of service that we're going to get all of our students and even those that are teachers and people that work in the school district and facilitate that to really pray over them before the school year starts. And then on August 30th, our Connect Groups Selection Day. Pastor Nate has been working hard to create some connection groups, some things that meet outside of that, like our crosswalk group and other groups. We have different groups that meet. We're going to have, that Sunday, we're going to have some displays set up so you can see what else is available to get involved in. And there'll be an opportunity to choose to connect with some of those things. And then on Sunday, September 6th, we're going to relaunch our bridge class. And that's going to be for our, what grades? I'm sorry. It's for, I drew a blank. We kind of made a little change. There it is. All right. Yeah, our 10 to 12-year-olds, it's going to be for that group, and they're going, basically 6th to 8th grade, and we're going to have an opportunity. They're going to meet with us for worship. They're going to break out and have their own Bible study, and so that kicks back off on September 6th. So all the other announcements, just look in your bulletin, and you should be able to find those, or you can go to thelakesassembly.com, or you can download the new app and have access to all that stuff. So I don't know about you, but I'm just excited about the idea that we've got that app and stuff that we can do those things. You can even listen to sermons you miss online through the app. So I'm just saying, that's a good thing, right? This morning, as always, I really pray and I try to see, God, what would you have me to bring? And I feel like that God has given me a series to hit over the next few weeks. And I'm calling this series, Help My Unbelief. You know, we all, to an extent, have some level of unbelief. You know, and I'm basing this series on a scripture that's just, how many have some of those scriptures, some of those verses and texts in scripture that just kind of intrigue you a little bit, that you kind of understand what it's saying, but there's a part of you like, there's something there that just kind of intrigue you, and if you're like me, I like to dig a little deeper and say, okay, what is that really saying? And there's just verses like that, and this whole series I'm kind of basing loosely on this passage, and it's found in Mark chapter 9, verse 23 through 24. But the whole premise of this is that Jesus, this father brings his son to Jesus that is a demon-possessed kid that he's struggling with, and he goes up to him, and he asks a question. He says, if you can do anything, and then he lays it out to Jesus. Now, what a question. First of all, I believe Jesus can do anything. But he said, if you can do anything, in other words, if you can do something about my circumstance here, I want you to do something. And I love Jesus' response. In Mark chapter 9, verse 23, he says, if you can, said Jesus. He's like, what? You're asking me if I can? Everything is possible for one who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. And I love this part. But help me overcome my unbelief. How many of you can kind of relate with that statement? I do believe, but there's some unbelief hanging around there. Now, there are many messages you could preach from this passage. We could pull different ones out, and we could talk about healing, because obviously Jesus stepped in and healed the situations. You could preach a sermon on healing out of this. We could talk about spiritual bondage, and spiritual bondage is a very real thing, and sometimes that some things that need to be broken spiritually in people's lives. We could talk about faith, because obviously this guy saying, Lord, help me with my unbelief. We could even talk about the gift of faith that's mentioned in 1 Corinthians, because how many know that sometimes the Holy Spirit comes along and he supercharges your faith for a moment or an event to help you step out and be what you need to be in that moment. We could talk about those things, but for the sake of today's message, I propose the reality is that this man had a level of belief, but he didn't really understand who he was in the presence of. So his belief was still mixed with quite a bit of unbelief. Yeah, I've been really kind of mulling over this series and these things. This was kind of rattling around in my brain. And then this week, I ran across the title of a book written by a guy named Craig Groeschel. And the title of the book is The Christian Atheist. Now, that kind of caught my attention. Okay, what? You know, so I kind of began to look at that, and what is that? And basically the subtitle of that book is this, Believing in God, but Living as If He Doesn't Exist. I thought, wow, that kind of lines up with this scripture that's been kind of hanging around in my mind. So I began to look at that. And so on a whim, I decided to go ahead and buy the book. It wasn't real expensive. So I thought, I'm going to read through this and see what this guy's got to say. And so I bought the book, and I opened it, and what really sealed the deal for me was, it was certainly in the ballpark of what I was thinking, but especially when I saw the first chapter was entitled, I Believe in God, but Don't Know Him. You see, I believe that's the whole issue this father had that day, is that he believed in God. He believed that there's a possibility that his son could be healed, but he really didn't know and understand who he was in the presence of. And I believe that too many times for us as Christians, we walk through life, we have a belief. Sometimes we even have a belief that God can do that for them, but he's not going to do that for me. Or we miss out on something because we don't really have an understanding. We don't really know who he is. And this morning, my whole purpose is I want to lay out the case this morning that the more we truly know him, the more we truly have a relationship with him, the more our unbelief will disappear. Now, for many people, you know, I personally wouldn't, if I were writing the book, which I'm not an author, and if I did write a book, there'd probably be four or five of you that would buy the book, but let alone getting it on Amazon and all that stuff, all right? But I personally wouldn't call them atheists. I would call many of the people that we're talking about today, I would call them agnostic Christians. And the fact that they aren't really sure, they're sure that there is a God, but they're not sure that God desires to be in a relationship with them. They see God as something distant, something far off that you worship, that you can know about, that you can learn about, that he did some things, that he's connected, but can I really have a personal relationship with him? And to me, there are Christian practices, really, many. How many know that you can meet Christians that really it's more of a just-in-case practice? I believe that there's a God, but, you know, I'm not 100% sure, but just in case it is true, I'm going to go to church, I'm going to do these certain things so that I kind of got my fire insurance policy, I guess you could say, sitting on the sideline. But that's exactly what this father was. He brought his son to Jesus, and he had some belief, yet he was clearly claimed some unbelief. What did he say? He said, help me with my unbelief. Now, I have a little bit of a pet peeve, and I talk to Kim about this a lot. How many know your spouse gets all the things that bother you, right? So, It's just part of the relationship thing. And one of my pet peeves is when people claim ownership of something that's a hindrance to them. My unbelief. One of the commercials, I don't play it much anymore, one of the commercials I used to hate was the commercial where the lady talked about her depression, my depression. Why would you want to claim that? It's mine. And the whole commercial, the reason it drove me crazy is the whole commercial was, if you take this little pill, we'll kind of tame your depression. And so the whole commercial showed this little cloud thing following her wherever she went. And she's having this picnic with the family, and the depression's sitting over here, this little cloud hovering off to the side. And it's still there, but it's just kind of uncontrolled, like it's part of the family you bring along on the picnic. Why would you want to claim something like that? And to me, I think sometimes as Christians, we need not claim things, but claim who we've got a connection with, and that he would help us put those things in its place. And so I love that the fact that this father realized that he realized the situation. I believe, but help me with my unbelief. You know, at the very least, he understood that and he went to the right place for the answer with that. And obviously, Jesus helped him in that situation because a great miracle was performed that day. And his son was miraculously set free. But I think far too many Christians today have no clue how much unbelief they truly carry around with them. Not to mention how much it is holding them back from what God has available for them if they truly knew him. See, our personal level of belief has a whole lot to do with how well we know Jesus. I'm convinced of that. The more intimately we know him, the more we will truly believe. You know, we live in a day that many somehow, let me say this. You know, I'm going to get into more detail on this later, but I know Billy really well, right? Because we do a lot of things together. And there's certain things about him that if he tells me I'm going to be somewhere and I'm going to do something, I trust that because there's a track record. I know him well enough to know it's not like somebody else out there that I don't know that says, hey, trust me, I'll get this done. I know that there's certain people in this church that have that track record that if they say, hey, I'm going to help you get this thing done, that it's going to get done. And that's exciting. I love that kind of stuff. And if we truly know Jesus, we should have a track record that he's gotten things done in our life. And when he says, I'm going to do this for you, there should be a certain level of understanding and trust that we're able to step back and say, okay, it's done. Why am I sitting here worried about it? Why have I got my unbelief? Why have I got my depression? Why have I got these things that I'm carrying around when it's in? He's already said, I got this. I love that Mitzi stood up and shared and was very vulnerable today. But what did she say? She said, God has promised me, Jesus has promised me results in this area with my son. And when we have those kind of promises, we can take those promises to the bank. Because he works that way. You see, we live in a day, though, that many somehow think that what they believe is reality, when most of the time, many people's beliefs are based on their personal feelings. I can't tell how many times I get in conversation with people, well, I feel, well, what are you basing these feelings on? And they have nothing to base on. It's just, I feel. Okay. I feel a lot of things. But feel will never trump truth. And we can let our feelings convince us of so many things that aren't true. You know, we can believe that the stories in Genesis concerning creation is true, but instead of God, it was aliens. We can believe that. As a matter of fact, Kim and I sat down the other night. We finally had a little bit of time. We're trying to get moved and all this stuff going to the church. And so we finally said, you know what? Let's sit down, sip a cup of decaf, and let's watch something on TV. Just unplug for a minute. And so we turned the TV on, and it was already on the History Channel, and the show was already on called Ancient Aliens. And typically we would just jump channels, but what they were talking about caught my attention, because I really was like, okay, they were talking about Genesis and creation and all these things in the Bible. And so it just kind of intrigued me. So we sit there watching it, because I figured, hey, this would be a good laugh, right? And so we're watching it, and as we're watching it, they're talking about the creation story and all these things in the Bible, and they're laying out, and these guys are, these intellectuals, are talking about how that this thing is fact. They're talking about all the evidence that shows this, all the things they're finding in archaeology that shows a lot of what the Bible says about these things is proving out to be true. The more we research, the more we find that, hey, this isn't just made up stories, it's true. So they're saying all that, but then they ended it by saying, well, what happened was, man was on his evolutionary track and aliens came in and changed the DNA. And Adam and Eve was real. And it's like, what? I mean, you're so close. But instead of God, it was aliens? Really? Well, I am so glad that I saw these intellectuals explain their beliefs. I feel so much better about my life and purpose now that I know that I'm the direct result of an alien experiment that answered all my questions about life. But then I had another thought that hit me. I guess that makes Jesus just an alien that broke the prime directive. That's for your Star Trek fans. Okay, now let's get out of fantasy back into reality. Something deep inside of me that is a part of my core knows better. I am a product of the creation by the hand of a holy God. He put his fingerprints on me. He formed me from the clay. He breathed the breath of life into me. I was created in his image. I was made with an eternal soul, and I do have a purpose. It is not an accident. It is not an alien experiment. And I was redeemed by his son from my lost state. And I now have a future and a purpose. And I'm a joint heir with Christ. I have a place in this world. And if I live this life and I surrender to him and I truly know him, my life on this earth will matter. And there will be fruit that will last eternity because of it. And because of my living relationship with him, I have faith. And I have faith that he exists and that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. However, I'm convinced that far too many Christians are just like the father in our story. They want to believe, but they need help with their unbelief. A recent Gallup poll reported that 94% of Americans claim to believe in God or in a universal spirit. Yet you take scripture and you hold it up next to our culture side by side, and it becomes obvious that nowhere near 94% actually know God enough to truly believe. They say they believe he exists, but you look at the fruit of what's out there, and it's pretty clear they don't truly believe, or they don't know what they believe. See, the problem is belief is something that isn't the same thing as firsthand knowledge. See, you can believe in something, but there's something about firsthand knowledge that is based on a relationship that is completely different. You may buy a lie about someone you're acquainted with, but however, if you have a close personal relationship with that person, you know better. You have an unshakable faith. I kind of picked on Billy a little bit earlier, but if somebody were to come to me and say, hey, you know what? Billy got upset over this political subject, and he kind of got into an argument with this person, I could buy that. I could see that happening because I know Billy. But on the other hand, I'm picking on him too because I know he can take it. We're still going to be friends after this over with, right? So, but on the other hand, I know him well enough to know that if somebody comes to me and says, hey, Billy swindled me, Billy cheated, Billy did this, I say, you're not talking about the same Billy. Because there's a relationship. And we should have that kind of relationship with God. That's the whole purpose. You see, the problem is that Belief in something isn't the same thing as that knowledge from really knowing them. You may buy a lie, but if you really know them, it's not going to. You see, far too many people scoff at the very idea that you could know God on a relational level. They say it's unlikely. They say it's unrealistic. They say it's unattainable. And boy, talk to somebody and claim that you hear God's voice, they're ready to take you off to the nut house. But they buy those things because they don't have relationship. They don't truly know Him. You see, you can know Him. You can know His voice. So this morning, for a moment, I want to talk about a secondhand relationship. Many people have what I would call a secondhand relationship. As humans walking this earth, we may know about God. We probably heard some Bible stories somewhere along the way. Maybe we have our favorite scripture even as a refrigerator magnet. But God desires, and we need more than a secondhand friend of a friend relationship. God desires so much more than that. The Old Testament clearly shows what happens to people and nations when they reach that place that it's a second-hand relationship, when they've lost that first-hand connection. To me, one of the saddest passages in Scripture is Judges chapter 2, verse 10, where it says this. And it's talking about the children of Israel. And we know such a history they had that they were given the promised land, that God performed all of these miracles to get them there and to do that. I mean, can you imagine getting to experience the things that they got to experience, to walk through, to literally be some of the ones that walked through when the Jordan River parted and you went to possess the land and being a part of that whole thing and seeing that and experiencing that, being fed by manna and all the things that took place. But here's the sad part, Judges 2:10. After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what He had done for Israel. You see, the problem was their parents' relationship, that second-hand relationship, that knowing somebody that knows God, didn't get it done for them. And see, the way their culture is set up, you're not going to tell me they didn't know the stories. The problem was this next generation had convinced themselves that it was just that, stories. That it was fables designed to teach a moral lesson or explain things that science hasn't caught up with enough yet to explain. Kind of sound familiar? And because their relational belief in God was secondhand, they easily fell into the unbelief of the day. That's where we're at as a nation. That's where we're at as people. As we've got a generation that is getting older, that knew the move of God, and you've got people coming up that it somehow hasn't become their faith. It's become their parents' faith. It's become this secondhand thing. And maybe they have a level of belief, but they really don't believe. That somehow that belief never became their own. They fall, and when that happens, you fall prey to the lies of the day, and the unbelief, it becomes the downfall. And some of us, however, I believe that we've grown up and we've reached the place that we know God intimately. And yes, I hear God's voice very clearly at times. I'm one of those. Now, let me explain this. I'm not driving through the aisles at Walmart, and I don't hear this booming voice in my car go, "Turn right now and I will give you a parking space." It's not that kind of deal. But if you know Him, there's this still, small voice that speaks to you in those moments. And you can know that voice. And you can follow that voice. And it will lead you. And He will guide you. And you can have that kind of relationship with Him. My question this morning is, if you truly believe, why don't you hear His voice? You may say, well, that's a little... How did somebody put it? Somebody I talked to a couple years back said, well, that's a little mystic, isn't it? I thought, I never would have used that word, but let me give you some proof here. John 10, 25 through 27. Jesus said, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe. What does it say? You do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. See, if we're really one of his sheep, if we really have that intimate relationship, there should be a knowledge of what that voice sounds like. And when we long for a relationship with God, God will satisfy that longing. And as we continue to seek God, he will grow and know him more and more intimately. And when we hear God's voice, we'll learn to recognize it instantly. It's not something that happens, but God over time will teach you exactly what that voice sounds like, and you can follow it. He'll lead you. And then we'll talk to God all the time because we also realize there's this two-way relationship there, and it will carry on. We'll actually miss him if you really allow it. If you begin to cultivate a relationship with him, you'll reach the place that when you go through seasons where life gets busy and you get distracted and you don't spend the time with him, you'll realize that you miss that relationship and you miss that time. You'll literally feel yourself begin to dry up and say, man, I've got to get back in prayer. I've let this thing slack a little bit. And see, as you go along, you'll build a history together. Just like somebody that you have a relationship, you'll build a history and you'll store up story after story of shared experiences. And you'll learn to love God, you'll learn to trust God, and you'll lose your unbelief because of your relationship. That's how it works. Nobody else can give you a relationship with God. That is something we have to seek and pursue on our own. I know, maybe you're thinking this morning, well, I believe in God. Isn't that enough? I mean, a lot of people don't believe in God, and I do. Isn't that all he really wants from me? I hear that one a lot. But the truth is, believing in him isn't all he wants. James 2:19 says, you believe that there is one God, good. Even demons believe that and shudder. I don't think we're going to see too many of them in heaven, I'm just saying. So why do they believe but tremble? It's because they know that relationally they're separated from him forever, that there is no reconciliation. And they understand what that means. Obviously, there is more to the whole Christian thing than just believing in God. Matter of fact, Jesus died for way more than just your belief. Jesus died to restore relationship. That was the whole purpose of his giving his life on the cross. We were separated. There was no way back to the Father. He came and gave his life so we could be back in right standing with God and we could have relationship with the King of the universe. When I was a young man, I'd been raised in church and I believed in God. But I have to admit, I didn't really know him. It was my parents' faith. It was my grandparents' faith. I knew scriptures. There's a lot of things that I've grown up around. There's a lot of that influence. I'm not saying that's great stuff. It's because of that influence that somewhere down my life around the age of 21 years old that I had the realization one day that, hey, what are you doing? You know better. And at that point, it became my relationship with Christ. And we have to get to that place. You see, when we don't truly know him, we don't understand his ways, and we don't really put any effort into developing that relationship. There's something out there that this is my connection. I know some things. And so we live. What happens is then we begin to live according to our own rules, and our own rules are messed up. Have you ever played a game with a kid that wants to make up his own rules as they go along? It doesn't work. First John 2:3-4. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Those who say, I know him, But do not do what he commands are liars, and the truth is not in them. It's not me, John's saying it. See, if we truly believe, then we will know him. And if we know him, we will keep his commands. And if we claim to know him, yet still live according to our rules, Scripture says that makes us liars. Here's another one of those verses that has always intrigued me. Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, we did not prophesy in your name, and in your name we drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. See, we can do good things and not be in right relationship with God. Many claim to believe in God, but their lives don't reflect that they truly know him. To me, the only real explanation for that is simply this. There's still too much unbelief hanging around. You know, there's some areas of unbelief we can have. We can serve God in a lot of ways, but somehow we carry unbelief that somehow if we trust him with our finances, he'll really be there to help us. And so we want to hoard everything and hold on to everything. I have proven this in my life again and again and again. And I know for some people, they think that the church, all they talk about is money. But I'm telling you, one of the signs of truly trusting is when you reach the place, say, you know what, God, I trust that if I give you 10%, that you're going to make this 90% that's left go farther than that 10% would have. And I've lived it out again and again and again in my life. It's not the only area. We can believe God for all these things, but we fail to believe that he can be our healer. And we can hold on to things, and we can get to the place that I don't believe in all this name it, claim it stuff, but there is something about faith and taking a stand upon the Word of God. And I know for a fact, and I'm not going to get a whole lot into it, but a lot of you know that Kim for a long time struggled with asthma, had all kinds of difficulties and everything, and it's been almost 2 years this March that God completely healed her. That's gone. So now she knows him in that way. There's a trust there. God, I trust you with this thing. There's so many areas in our life as Christians we can walk around. We may be strong in some areas, but we hold a level of unbelief in that area, and we have trouble really turning that area over to him and trusting him in that area. You know, sometimes I think we confuse knowing of and with and knowing about and truly loving God in an ongoing relationship. We confuse those as the same things. See, belief comes through relationship. And I'm going to move quickly. See, we know relational belief is happening when we become increasingly aware of God's presence, his provision, his power, his grace and peace on a daily basis. We no longer feel like God is just out there somewhere waiting for us to call on his name every now and then and waiting for us to do our duty and show up once or twice a month at church. I would say every week, but that's a little stretch for some people. But our whole life is supposed to be an ongoing relationship, a meaningful relationship with them. I mean, look at some of the Bible heroes. How are they able to live like that? It's not that they weren't flawed people. I mean, try looking through Bible heroes and you can find the flaws. They're there. They're very human individuals. What happened was, is they trusted God. They believed when he said. I love what David said in Psalm 63, verse 1. It says, you, God, are my God. You can almost end that right there. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. Isn't that really a good description of how we live today? Many of you are working in a very dry land. But what does he say? He says, God, you are my God. There's just something about that. In verse 3, he goes on to say, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. What did he say? Because your love is better than life. If we aren't carrying around some unbelief, then we won't believe that his love is better than life. What else explains why we don't live like his love is better than what the world has to offer? If we don't live, that means that we don't truly believe what he's saying. In a sense, David is saying, if I had to choose either God's love and lose my mortal body or live and lose his love, I'd rather have his love. That's the relationship we should have. You know, you only make those kind of claims if you truly believe. My closing point this morning is this. The real question remains this morning, do you truly believe? Do you have relationship? Or is it just some knowledge with a little belief mixed in with your unbelief? Here's a good test. I thought, how can I make this, bring this down to a level where we can put that to the test? Then I thought of this. The way you address God personally or refer to him probably reveals a little bit about your intimacy level or lack of it. Here's an example. What people call me clearly reveals how well they know me, or if they know me at all. If the phone rings and I pick up the phone and I pick it up and a voice on the other end says, yes, is Mr. Spiegel there? I got a pretty good indication right then. This is not somebody that I know. This is not somebody that knows me. As a matter of fact, they're fixing to try to sell me something. Then there are those that call me pastor. That means they know me at a certain level. And there's the one that I love. It's when I walk into a place and somebody introduces me and I hear them. I'm just saying this. It's not an ego stroke here. I'm just telling you. Just giving you a little insight. It means a lot when somebody introduces me to somebody else and says, this is my pastor. That means there's a level of relationship there. There's some that even call me PD for short. That means there's a relationship. There's a small circle of people that call me PD track star. And there's a story to that. We were doing a crusade. And a young lady that was helping us drove up, and she was talking to a little group of us that were standing there, and all of a sudden she realized that there was a bee in the vehicle with her. And she got in this panic and she stops the vehicle and she jumps out screaming and swatting, and she didn't put the vehicle in park. And the vehicle starts rolling down this hill, and it was right towards Highway 67 Service Road and a big tree sitting there. And everybody else is standing there going, I took off running, jumped in the front seat, stopped it, put it in park. But I know of some, well, yeah. But because of that, there's a certain little group of people that that still to this day will say, hey, PD track star. That means that they're part of a small circle of people that we have an experience that we shared together. Dad's an exclusive group. Husband is another. There's only one person in this world that can call me that, or could have ever called me that. But it isn't so different with God. You see, our level of belief and trust in him has to do with what we call him. Just like the person on the phone that mispronounces my name, if I'm talking to somebody, we're having a conversation, they say, would you talk to the man upstairs for me? That immediately tells them, ooh. Things ain't looking very good for you, buddy. I'm not feeling like there's much relationship there. But if you've experienced God's grace and his miraculous forgiveness in your life, then you can affectionately call him my Savior. If you've had a disease and the doctor said couldn't be cured, yet you experienced a miracle, then you call him my healer. Maybe you had a broken heart and suddenly an intimate moment in worship, you felt his presence and he came and he comforted you. Then you can say, Lord, you're my comforter. See, we could go on and on and on with those things. You see, as we have relationship with God, he can become things to us that is so intimate and so close that nobody else knows. There's things that we share, and it can be a closeness. Last scripture I'm going to read this morning is this, Romans 8, 15 and 16. It says, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. See, if you can comfortably call him by the intimate name like Daddy, my Father, my Lord, my Savior, my Healer, my Comforter, my Provider, then you know that you're at the point of love. And then your heart will break at the things that causes his heart to break. You'll serve him faithfully as a part of his bride, the church, instead of making excuses and blaming your lack of belief on the church or somebody else. You'll learn to experience peace, grace, and trust. And you'll get to know him, and you'll boldly live for him, and you'll excitedly serve him, and you'll be a true, loving follower of Christ. The truth is, this morning, this is the kind of relationship he desires with each and every one of us. There is not an exception in this room. I'm going to say that again. There is not an exception in this room. He desires that kind of relationship with you. Once we know him on an intimate level, how can we continue in unbelief? If we truly know him, then unbelief is out the window. See, a father and son that day came to know him. And they came to know him as deliverer and Lord. I bet they left that situation with a whole different level of relationship. So this morning as we pray, I'm going to ask our prayer team to make their way to the front if they would. I believe that this is I'm confident enough that still small voice gave me this message that I believe it's for somebody. It's for some people today. We're going to do our altar call a little bit differently today. Maybe you're here today and you're a little bit like that father. And you say, Lord, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. Help me with those ways that I fall short. Help me with those ways that I'm missing the mark, that I'm not quite turning it over to you and I still have my doubts. Maybe for you, is that you really can't call him Savior this morning. You believe he exists, but your unbelief is that he's your Savior. If that's you and you've never asked Christ in your life, I know that's a bold step. I want you to step out right where you're at and let one of these people pray with you, if that's you this morning. Don't hesitate. Don't wait around. If you're here this morning and maybe there's some diagnosis that a doctor's given you and you're walking around in unbelief that God cares enough to do anything about that circumstance and that he's just left you alone and that you're just out there to fend for yourself and whatever medical science can dream up, and you don't know him as healer, I want you to step out and let one of these people pray with you this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you're facing financial difficulties. And you're not to the place you can trust and hand things over to him. There's unbelief holding you back from those kind of things and truly trusting him in that area. Then I ask you to step out this morning and let him be your provider. Maybe you're here this morning and you just need peace. You just feel lost and alone. You feel like nobody really cares. There's nobody walking through life with you. And you just need a comforter. He can be that comforter today. I could go through a whole list of scenarios. The bottom line is, whatever it is you need, he can be that for you if you'll give him the chance. Somebody's got to be the first one. If any of those areas hit you, if something has just spoke to your heart, maybe it's something I didn't even mention, but something this morning has spoke to your heart, and you say, you know what, I need that. I've got some unbelief that I need to lay aside. I need to trust him in this area. We want to pray with you this morning. Because God does those things. Anybody else? Father, this morning, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that we serve a God that desires intimate relationship. Lord, that we can have that relationship to the point that our unbelief fades away. Because we know who you are. We know your integrity. We know your promises. Lord, I just pray for just a blanket prayer over everyone here this morning. Lord, I believe as a whole group, we can stand here today, every one of us at some level, and say, Lord, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. Lord, I pray today that you begin to do things in lives on an individual level, that you bring us all to a place of walking in more faith and more awareness and more belief that we have known. And Lord, we thank you for that, and we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. them. How many know if you needed a job, you want people praying for you? So let's pray for these this morning. Father, we do pray for these this morning, Lord, that are in that situation that they need a job, they need your provision, they need your hand to be with them. And Lord, we ask you to touch them and to minister to them. And Lord, you'd bless them financially. Lord, you'd open the doors. Lord, you've got that place, that thing for them that fits who they are and who you created them to be. And we ask you to just pour by your Spirit into that circumstance, Lord, to meet their needs, to let them order their, guide their steps, or direct their path, lead them to the thing that you have for them. And Lord, let that be a finished work in their life. They would have that provision that they need, and you would meet every need according to your riches and glory. Because Lord, we deserve, Lord, we honor you, and we give you our praise. And Lord, we ask you just to do a work in each and every one of them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you guys. You're just best. Shake hands, hug necks. And if you've got youngsters, don't forget Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. tonight at 6 o'clock.